That'll be our morning laughter. Welcome to Lake Country Bible Church. I don't know that I see any faces I'm not familiar with, but I'm gonna go through the usual welcome this morning anyway. I'm gonna read it for a change because I can't seem to get anything right this morning. If you're visiting us today, we'd like you to welcome you to Lake Country Bible Church. And thank you for joining us in worship. Please look in the hymnal slot in the back of the seat in front of you for a plastic envelope. It contains a slip of paper that we would love for you to fill out. Give us some contact information about you. At the end of the service, please drop that in the basket to the right of the door on the way out. And maybe we can get a touch with each other and just get to know each other a little bit. And we'll let you know how welcome you are. So, let's praise the Lord this morning. Brother West.
Good morning. We need to praise the Lord always, but you need to pray for me. My voice is just about gone. We have announcements to look at. One of them's a Paystone, and that is really resourceful on Lisa's part. If you'll take notice that we have a fellowship potluck dinner next Sunday, the 17th. Everybody's invited. There'll be a movie night, the 15th of March. That's Friday night. And then, of course, every Sunday morning we have prayer meeting in the room to the right. In that same room, Terry Buckler conducts her study in 2 Samuel. All women are encouraged to attend that. And then Wednesday night, right here in this room, we have our Wednesday night 6 o'clock service. That was terribly out of order, but you can follow along, I'm sure. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we just come and worship together this morning, praising your holy name. Lord, we confess our need. Our need to heed your word more now than ever before. Everywhere we see the darkness growing, seeking to quench your light. Yet as your word reminds us, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Our salvation is in your light, Lord, for as you say, that you are the way, the truth, and the light, through whom all come to the heavenly Father. Your children from the beginning heeded your word, yet stumbled even so and received their just reward, despite the angels' steadfast report to them. Lord, how then can we escape such justice should we neglect so great a salvation that was prepared in heaven and spoken by our Lord, then to be confirmed by the apostles who walked with him? For now you still bear witness according to your will through your Spirit. For you have not put the world to come in subjection to the angels, and all is in subject to your Son, your Anointed One, that by your grace he tasted death for everyone, bringing many sons to glory, and thereby is the captain of our salvation perfected through his sufferings. Lord, in this season of joy of your resurrection, we take heed to work out our salvation in the prompting of your Holy Spirit, sanctified by your grace, for which reason he is not ashamed to call us brothers. Lord, we bless you for your wondrous work of grace, your gospel message. We pray your inspiration upon all within each of us, and bring its message to any who know you not, that they too will find it as the power of our Most High God unto the salvation from sin. Lord, may your truth and your light be plainly seen wherever your children tread. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in the book of Daniel this morning. Daniel chapter 11. I believe we read from 10 through 30. I hope this meant in my mouth less. Daniel 11, verse 10. However, his son shall stir up strife and assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come and overwhelm and pass through. Then he shall return to his fortress and stir up strife. And the king of the south shall be moved with rage and go out and fight with him, and the king of the north, who shall muster a great multitude. But the multitude shall be given into the hand of his enemy. When he has taken away the multitude, his heart will be lifted up, and he will cast down tens of thousands, but he will not prevail. For the king of the north will return and muster a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come at the end of some years with a great army and much equipment. Now in those times many shall rise up against the king of the south, also violent men of your people shall exalt themselves in fulfillment of the vision, but they shall fail. So the king of the north shall come and build a siege mound and take a fortified city, and the forces of the south shall not withstand him. Even his choice troops shall have no strength to resist. But he who comes against him shall do according to his own will, and no one shall stand against him. He shall stand in the glorious land with destruction in his power. He shall also set his face to enter with strength of the whole of his kingdom, and the upright ones. They shall be with him, and thus he shall do. He shall give him the daughter of women to destroy it, but she shall not stand with him or be for him. After this, he shall turn his face to the coastlands and shall take many, but a ruler shall bring the reproach against them to an end. And with the reproach removed, he shall turn back on him. Then he shall turn his face toward the fortress of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. For there shall rise in his place one who imposes taxes on the glorious kingdom, but within a few days he shall be destroyed, but not in anger or in battle. And in his place he shall rise a vile person to whom they will not give honor of royalty, but he shall come in peaceably and seize the kingdom by intrigue. With the force of a flood they shall be swept away from them before him and be broken, and also the price of the covenant. And after the league is made with him, he shall act deceitfully, for he shall come up and become strong with a small number of people. He shall enter peaceably even into the richest places of the province, and shall do what his fathers had not done, nor his forefathers. He shall disperse among them plunder, spoil, and riches. And he shall devise his plans against the strongholds, but only for a time. He shall stir up his power, his courage against the king of the south and a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to do battle with a very great and mighty army. But he shall not stand, for they shall devise plans against him. Yes, those who eat of the portion of his delicacies shall destroy him. His army shall be swept away, and many shall fall down slain. Both these kings' hearts shall be bent on evil, and they shall speak lies at the same table. But it shall not prosper, for the end will still be at the appointed time. While returning to his land with great riches, his heart shall be moved against the Holy Covenant, so he shall do damage and return to his own land. And at the appointed time he shall return and go towards the south. but it shall not be like the former or the latter. For ships from Cyprus shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return in a rage against the Holy Covenant and do damage. So he shall return to the show. So he shall return and show regard for those who forsake the Holy Covenant.
Good to look out and see you folks here, and the sun's shining out the front door, and it's a beautiful Sunday morning. Your smiling faces make it even better. I have had several people ask me about, sound man, is that about right? Tara? We okay? Ask me about Freddie. I talked with Freddie to quite an extended time the other night. This was prior to the not good but better thoughts of the doctors that maybe this is what he is experiencing and causing his headaches. Might be a result of necrosis as well as maybe a little bit of the tumor returning. He should find out this coming week early on as to exactly what the case is. Continue to pray for him. He covets our prayers. He says it's a blessing to know and realize that the church that he loves, Lake Country Bible Church, is praying for him. So continue to pray for him, lift his family up, and he is pressing forward as far as plans for the summer. And so continue to pray that God strengthens him and blesses him in his ministry. I was reading this week concerning churches that put out their bulletins. Not all churches use bulletins anymore. In fact, a lot do not. And listed in one of these church bulletins, the needs of the church. Under needs of the church, it says 8 new choir robes are currently needed due to the addition of several new members and to the deterioration of some older ones. Scouts are saving aluminum cans, bottles, and other items to be recycled. Proceeds will be used to cripple children. Attend and you will hear an excellent speaker and have a healthy lunch. So whatever that means. The church will host an evening of fine dining, super entertainment, and gracious hostility. Some of these things are so real. They're just believable. You know, we were studying Sunday school, the repercussions that come as a result of wrongs there in Genesis chapter 31, I believe it was. Is that correct? Hello? 33? 34. Brad, I can identify with you. And the result of a wrong that was done and the result of her family taking out vengeance, her brothers taking out vengeance on those who caused the problems, plus others that did not cause the problems, reminded me so much of real situations within churches. I thank God this morning that's not our church. But in talking with Freddie, Freddie can see and can reasonably think that there is an end in sight before the rapture, an end in sight to his life and to his ministry. And he has requested us pray. Our church has been involved in a lot of his preparations for the camp, preparations for different activities. Other churches have too. And one of these is a church in the local area that Freddie and I have not only visited with, but we helped to establish their doctrinal position. And he is concerned that in his absence, should the Lord take him before the rapture. And he is concerned about his family. What will they do? Janet would like to, and she's planning ahead to establish a ladies' ministry there on their home place. And in order to do that, the camp is, Grace Farm is about 25 miles away from where he lives. And that is the place for large gatherings. Smaller gatherings, such as an individual ministry to the ladies, and subsequently a ministry in the same vein and atmosphere of Youth Ranch, they would like to have, he would like to have some kind of building there on the home place. And he was planning on doing this himself, but he's not aware that he's going to be able to do that. I think in talking with Freddie, it seems like he is, would really love to have a facility there that would be in existence before he passes. If and when he passes. And so he has put out a matter of prayer. And that is that he would really like for our church to pray, as well as this other local church to pray, about maybe putting together a group of men who could go there, stay at Grace Farm, make a 25-mile trip after breakfast to their home place and erect a 18 by 24, what he calls multipurpose barn. And that multipurpose barn would be used for the ladies ministry as well as Youth Ranch and any other activities that his family would like to use to reach people for Christ. And so that is something that I want you to think about. I told Freddie, I said, Freddie, our church is an old church. And by that I mean most of us here are on up in years. And we do not have the energy nor the ability, the strength to put up that kind of building in a hurry. But the other church is about the same as we are, only they're a young church and most of their people are still working. So my request to you is in the days and weeks to come that you pray about that in case the Lord goes ahead and develops that as to whether you might be available and desire to go and help in the building of that 18 by 24 barn. He'd like to have 2 8-foot porches on either side of that 24-inch dimension. So that is a beautiful part of Georgia, and be great to be able to sit on those porches and see the surroundings. So pray for that if you would, and continue to pray for him. And let's ask the Lord this morning to, as we go into his word, to reveal the things that he would have for our benefit. Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you so much for this time together. And Father, thank you for the atmosphere of accepting of one another. Father, help us always to love our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, desire the very best for them. And Father, we pray that you would encourage our people here. We pray that you would encourage Freddie. We pray that you would encourage this other church. Father, that we might be able to be used of you in the ways that you would have us to be, and to bring honor and glory to you and blessings to us. We look into your word this morning, open our eyes and our ears and our hearts, minds, that we might be able to accept the things that we see here and benefit from them. And Father, we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, you're probably aware of this morning, but we have been in Daniel for a long time. And in the next couple of weeks, we want to be through and out of the book of Daniel and on to other things that the Lord would have us to look at. Some very important things need to be discussed during this age in which we live. Sort of like this, as God revealed to Daniel what the future of Israel was going to be. The 11th chapter of Daniel has brought us into the future. Not a future that Old Testament prophets, they recognized what these revelations were. They did not see the church age. The church age was a mystery that was revealed unto the Apostle Paul, but the Old Testament prophets did not see these times in which we have lived, some 2,000 years, this dispensation of grace, the church age, if you would. Here in Daniel chapter 11, we find that what the prophets were looking at and what God had revealed to Daniel here in Daniel chapter 11 were how God was going to be dealing with the nation of Israel during this tribulation, this 70th week of Daniel. We find in Daniel 11:40, "And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over." War. War is on the horizon. If you are following the events that we are currently experiencing in the world, there is a lot of talk about war. Very discouraging. Can be, in some instances, a little bit disconcerting, this war atmosphere that we have. Well, God is revealing here to Daniel that during the tribulation period, there shall be much war. And he begins here in Daniel chapter 11, verse 40, and he is giving a glimpse of what will be taking place here during this 70th week of Daniel. The time of peace is over, the first 3.5 years, entering into the last 3.5 years, the last part of the 7-year tribulation, that part of the tribulation that is called the Great Tribulation. There shall be war. He writes in verse 41, "And he shall enter also into the glorious land. Many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom, Moab, the chief of the children of Ammon." Who is this one? This one that's being spoken of here is none other than Satan himself, the Antichrist. Excuse me, not Satan, but the Antichrist himself. He shall be the one that is being spoken about here. Verse 42, "And he shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape." Verse 43, "But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver and over all the precious things of Egypt. The Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps." War. Satan has set up this Antichrist, and he is busy about the disruption here on the face of the globe as God continues to deal with his chosen people, Israel. Verse 45, "And he," the Antichrist, "shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountains, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him." He's going to establish and build a great tabernacle and palace between the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean Sea. The Antichrist. He's the little horn of chapter 7 and 8 that we've studied about earlier. Who shall come into power peaceably, promising peace and prosperity, and then all problems will break out and there will be cast into the lives of the Jewish people great tribulation. Antichrist shall come into power by flatteries and intrigues and cunningly hypocritical conduct. With an army likened unto the flood, he sweeps everything away in his path. Be none other that has ever been seen on the face of the globe like unto this Antichrist. The masses of the people are being swayed by a very few numbers of people who rally to him. We find that today. A very few people have domination of our country and the politics here in our nation. That will be the case only to a greater degree as the Antichrist comes into power and he begins to reveal himself as who he really is during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. We have seen this. We've experienced this as members and civilians of the United States of America. As we had looked at not only chapter 7 and 8, but earlier chapter 2, we noticed that the 10 toes of iron and mixed with clay, they clearly portray the Antichrist rule through his 10 chosen kings as described in Revelation chapter 17. The kingdom that he sets up shall possess the strength of iron, and yet it will suffer the weaknesses of being mixed with clay. In other words, he shall be in power, and yet there shall be visibly a rule of the individual people. Clay and iron cannot mix, neither can this chosen people. These people that have been ushered in to this time of turmoil and war and just discouragement upon the face of the globe. The empire shall be partially strong and partially broken, this empire of the Antichrist. The king of the south during this time is none other than the king of Egypt. Egypt will be revived, shall be strong, as we saw in chapter 8. After lying dormant for hundreds of years, God shall raise them up again. Both the king of Egypt and the Antichrist shall line up. They shall not be in agreement with one another, but they shall be at odds with one another. And there shall be a battle. And then a form of a truce is formed upon this battle to bring it to an end. But as one tries to promote greater things, the other, in order to cover up the deceit of his lies, grows even stronger and more agitated. The end of these two, the Antichrist and this king of Egypt, they are determined in the Word of God. We can find it there. God has decreed it. A short time will pass, and they face each other again. These ships of Chittim, or Cyprus, as we learned earlier, shall cause either a naval defeat for the Antichrist, or they will discourage him from going on in with his plans to dominate all of the world. Who is this one that is called the ships of Cyprus? Well, from history and from the scriptures, Bible scholars believe that Cyprus, or this as used in King James, not the New King James, but the King James Version, is the country that is furthest from Palestine. And what if, Bible scholars ask, what if America would be this land of Chittim, the one who stops the progress of the Antichrist? The Antichrist will return to his own land, Israel, to deceive the Jewish people. Still more. The Antichrist, you say, Mike, is going to be Jewish? Yes, he will be Jewish, because the Jews will never accept a Goy or a Gentile. to be in the place of prominence that the Antichrist will occupy. He has made a covenant with these, Israel, for 7 years, in, as we studied in chapter 9. And he's about to break that covenant after only 3.5 years have occurred. He takes the leaders of Israel, both religious and political, who in turn deceive the people in a claim, in acclaiming him to be the Messiah, God himself. Daily sacrifices are stopped. He's enthroned in the temple and demands to be worshiped. This Antichrist, he will appear to Israel to be the answer of all of their problems, the one who can bring them into prosperity and strength again. Great masses of the Jewish people will follow their leaders and bow to this imposter, none other than the Antichrist. But there shall be those who refuse to bow to this one, this false Messiah. Many of these shall be killed, paying with their lives for refusing to worship him. There will be some who refuse to worship the Antichrist. The Antichrist shall exalt himself above God, saying that he is God. We read that and find that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. For those who do worship him, he shall appear as the Lamb, but God calls him the Beast. He shall declare himself to be the truth, but God calls him the lie. He shall claim to be the life, but God declares him to be death. And he shall be a Jew, one of God's chosen people, but one who has gone astray. This can only be spoken of a Jew, not a goy. The Gentiles do not know who the God of their fathers was, but the Jew knows the God of their father. He's Jehovah. And they shall worship and follow this false Messiah, this false God. We find in Revelation chapter 13 that he, the Antichrist, separates himself from women, regards the gods of force. He places his faith in his weapons and relies on the strength of Satan for his power. While the world kingdom of the Antichrist remains partially strong and partially broken, the world has been conquered by him, except for the king of the north, which probably will be Russia and her satellite countries around her. In this chapter, we learn that he goes to battle against the king of the north. We read in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, the king of the north and his armies shall cover Israel as a great cloud. This king, the king of the north, is defeated. We read in Ezekiel 38 and 39, the Antichrist builds his palace between these two great seas, the Mediterranean and the Dead. There he will demand homage and worship and tribute. His end, though, will come. It's assured. He will be done away with by God himself. His end shall come when with the kings of the east, we read in Revelation 9, verse 16, also Revelation chapter 16, verse 12, the battles, the true Messiah, the Lord Jesus, will defeat him at that great battle of Armageddon. And God shall reign victorious, or Christ shall reign victorious over this world for 1,000 years as he fulfills his promise to set up his earthly kingdom. His promise will be fulfilled with his chosen people, the Jews. This morning, we look around as we see the things that we see on TV with this election coming up. We wonder how things will turn out. God says that this is the way they will turn out for his chosen people. They shall be victorious because Christ shall rule and reign for 1,000 years. What happens after the 1,000-year reign of Christ? Well, we have the great white throne judgment that occurs. Following that, it's what's called the eternal state. Christ shall take his rule, his kingdom, this earth, believers who have come back to rule and reign with him for this 1,000-year millennial reign. He shall turn them all over to God, his heavenly Father, and God shall reign supreme forever and ever and ever. My prayer this morning is this, that we who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior will take and do all that we can do to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, I know there's some who desire to see people come to know Christ as their personal Savior and yet are reluctant. My prayer is that God would equip you as well as equip me to be the witness that we should be. What a shame if we should stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive rewards or experience loss of rewards because of our life that we lived for Him. What a shame if we stand there empty-handed. I know there's some here in our church who have a little bit of a varying degree of salvation, whether we are chosen of God or whether we believe in that whosoever will may come. Let me say this. Makes no difference. God holds us responsible to share the gospel. Have we done that? Do we do that? We should. God will hold us responsible. As we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we shall suffer loss of rewards if we have been unfaithful. Not loss of salvation, we're secure in Christ, but we shall suffer loss of rewards. If we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are His workmanship, Ephesians 2:10, created in Christ Jesus, which God hath before ordained that we should have good works. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you so much for grace. We thank you, Father, that the invitation is that whosoever will may come. We thank you, Father, that you put people in our way when he knows that we are faithful. He puts people in our paths on a daily basis that need to know you as their personal Savior. We pray, Father, that he would use us, each one of us, that we might be ready and willing to share the free gift of eternal life. Father, we thank you for each one that's here this morning. We ask that you would finish this message, Father, in the lives and hearts of our people this morning as we leave here. Father, we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.